Good morning. Today's Daf in Chagiga Zion. We are starting on the very bottom of Vav Amud Beis. We start with a Mishnah. Tanan Hassan, we learned over there in a Mishnah. Before we start with the Mishnah and Peah, so just as a quick setup and a brief intro. So we are discussing the Karbanos that are brought every Yantiv. On every Yantiv, we are required to bring Karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. Olas Riyah, Shami Chagiga, Shami Simcha, three Karbanos in total. The Gemara yesterday laid out the three Karbanos. The Gemara yesterday notes that there are certain things that identify each one separate from the others, but these are the Karbanos that one is required to bring. We spoke yesterday about how much it cost in order to bring them, Machlokes Bichama and Beisilo, in terms of the amount of money that you have to spend. The Gemara yesterday, today, Tosus on the first Amud of the Masechta, all outlined that although they're giving us spending requirements, guidelines, more like requirements, so they're giving us spending requirements, minimum requirements, but that's not a din d'oraisa. There is a karban that does have a spending requirement, but that's one karban and that's it. The rest of the karbanos do not have spending requirements. You just simply have to bring an animal that's non-blemished, but the Torah never tells us how much to spend. The chachamim do. We spoke more about that yesterday in terms of So, with that stated, we're going to now see a Mishnah and Peah. We all know the Mishnah and Peah. You'll see why in just a moment. And based on the Mishnah and Peah, it's going to seem to be difficult in light of what we just learned together. Tanan Hasam, so the Mishnah and Peah, L'dvarim Shem Lam Shir, there are things that do not have an amount. And that is Peah, Bikur, Mahare, Ayon, Gbilos, Chasadim, Matam, Torah. So five things mentioned over here in this Mishnah and Peah, five mitzvahs in which there is no Shir. So let's go one by one, Peah. So that is that one has to designate a corner of his field for the poor people, so they can go and take from the corner of the field. How much of the corner are we talking about? In Loshir, there's no amount. There's no set amount. Habikurim. So as far as the bringing of Bikurim, your first fruits to Yerushalayim, so how much of your first fruits do you have to bring? Once again, Torah does not give a shear. Re'ayon, that's our topic. Re'ayon is Re'iyah. So that's the Olas Re'iyah. So there is no shear. Stay tuned. What does that mean? So that's going to be the first half of today's daf. All right, Amud Aleph, Zayin Amud Aleph is going to be asking a really simple question, and that is, what is the intent of the Mishnah and Peah when the Mishnah says that there's no shear for the Re'iyah? And finally, Gemilas Chasadim and Talmud Torah. Gemilas Chasadim, acts of kindness, there's no shear. You could continuously be Menachem Avel all day, there's no shear. At the same time, also, you can go one time, and that would be sufficient. And Talmud Torah, and of course, learning of Torah, there's no shear. Okay, there is much to discuss regarding this Mishnah. I will just make one comment regarding this Mishnah, and that's Tosos. Tosos points out, the list over here does not seem to be exhaustive at all. There are many mitzvahs in the Torah that do not have shear, and the fact that the Mishnah over here only highlights five of them, so that's a little bit strange. Tosos here quotes the Yerushalmi. It's a Tosos on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph, Hadar Parach B'Yerushalmi. Tosus quoting the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Brecha, by Lama Lo Taninan, and so Rabbi Brecha in the Yerushalmi asked the following question. You know, I could think of a lot of things to add to this list. For example, offer the sota, right? So the dirt for the sota. So how much dirt is there? Torah doesn't give a shear. A for para. How much ashes are we talking about? Once again, no shear. Rok yavama. How much spit has to come out of the mouth of the yavama? There's no shear. Dam tzipor shel mitzora. The blood of the mitzora. So the blood of the bird for the Taharas HaMetzora. Again, we could say the same thing. So I'm Rabbi Yossi. So, and even the Yerushalmi's list is not exhaustive, but the point, of course, is that the Mishnah and Peah seems to fall really short of the number of mitzvahs that don't have a shear. So why these five and why only these five? So Yerushalmi gives a really interesting answer. I'll share the Yerushalmi's answer. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Lo Aisina B'masisin Ela Dvarim Shuhu Mosif Aleihem V'yesh Be'asiyas HaMitzvah Ve'elu Afapish Mosif Aleihem Ein Be'asiyas HaMitzvah. Because what our Mishnah is describing are things where if I did more, I get more credit. I get more mitzvah. There is something to be said about doing more. Masha'enkin, every one of the examples the Yerushalmi cites as why didn't include it, because over there, it doesn't help if you do more, right? Just take any one of the examples in the Yerushalmi, offer the sota, right? The dirt for the sota. In other words, you have to collect dirt from the Azara floor to add to the water in order to give to the sota. And what if I had a lot of dirt? It's not going to make a difference. Meaning over there, we're just testing the sota. So you add a little bit of dirt, you add a lot of dirt. You don't enhance the mitzvah in doing so. Masha'en kein, everything in our Mishnah. So every time you add, of course, you're going to get extra mitzvah. You're going to get extra schar, right? The more chesed you do, the more schar you're going to get. Talmud Torah. Good. So that's the Yerushalmi's answer. Really interesting. We're going to continue in our Gemara. I'm Rav Yochanan. So upon observing this Mishnah, now we're really interested in the Mishnah and only one aspect of the Mishnah, and that, of course, is Re'ayon vis-a-vis our Masechta of Chagiga. Now, when Rav Yochanan sees our Mishnah, Kisvurim, he thought, Anu lomar, ha-Re'ayonin la-shir la-mala va-yish la-shir la-mata. So I thought that what it means is that there's no upper limit, but there's a lower limit. There's no ceiling, but there's a floor. That's what I thought. And all the Mishnah is telling me is that there's no ceiling. How much can I spend on my chagiga, my shamay chagiga, on my olas re'iya? I can spend as much as you want. But there's a minimum amount that you have to spend. That's what I thought. Avayeshal shir lamata, ashaba Rabbi Oshia b'Rebbe. So, but Rabbi Oshia, who was the god of the door, so v'limid ha-re'ayon in lashir l'lamala v'lamata. And he corrected me, and he said it's not true. He said that when it comes to re'ayon, now we're going to understand to be the olas re'iya. So there is no upper limit, and there's no lower limit as well. There's no floor, there's no ceiling. In other words, min ha-Torah, you can spend as much as you want and as little as you want. Now, the gears over here, we have Aval Chachamim Amru, right? The Bach changes it to Aval Amru Chachamim, meaning it's not a dissenting viewpoint, it's just an explanation. Aval Amru Chachamim Hari'iya Ma'akesef Ha'chagiga She'kesef. So, but rather, the Chachamim put in these requirements of spending floors, that you must spend minimally for the Ola Amah, and for the chagiga shemaus. Okay. So in other words, so that's not pshat in the Mishnah and Peah. The Mishnah and Peah is not talking about the spending, because as far as spending is concerned, min ha-Torah, there's no spending floor, there's no spending ceiling. What about our Mishnah? That's a din d'rabbanan. Good. Tosus already said that on the first Amud. Obviously, Tosus knew Daf Zayin when he was writing. Good. So there is no spending floor or ceiling when it comes to the karbanos of Yantiv. And for that matter, I'll say like Tosos, like there's no spending requirements for any carbon, with notable exception. By the way, what was the notable exception? So the Asham, the carbon Asham, has a spending requirement that's based on a drasha in the Torah. But anyway, but there's no spending requirements. So min haTorah. So now we go back to the Mishnah. Okay, so now we have a Mishnah to learn. The Mishnah Peah says that HaReayon, as one of five examples, in Lashir. Okay, so now we have to ask a simple question, and it demands an answer. What does it mean? Because it's not talking about spending. I guess you could suggest that it is talking about spending. It's talking about, from a derabbanan standpoint. But the Gemara is not ready to entertain that. The Gemara's assumption is that the Mishnah and Peah is describing things that operate min ha-Torah. So with that stated, so now we have a very... Right, correct.
But that's the same question for Peah.
But the answer is the same, meaning there is min ha-Torah, there is none.
Right,
correct. Okay,
so it's all the corners or just one of the corners?
One corner. So
does that have to be in one area, like the northwest corner?
So when we get to Masechta Peah, which in of itself is not a serious comment, because in the Daf Yomi we're not going to do it. So they're fair questions to ask. Right now we're going to be focusing today on the Olas Re'iya. So HaRe'ayon, my HaRe'ayon. So we need a pshat over here. So it's going to be a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and we're going to hear two versions of it. We are right now starting the first version of the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and later on this Amud, the entire Amud is just dealing with this one question of what's pshat in the Mishnah and Peah. And so when we get to the Mishnah later on, and later on the Amud, we're going to go over a second pshat of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So, my Re'ayon, Rav Yochanan, my Re'ayon, Panim Ba'azara. So, according to Rav Yochanan, when the Mishnah and Peah says that there is no there's no shear for Re'iya, it means Re'iya's panim. And meaning to say that according to Rav Yochanan, you can go into the Azara as many times as you like, as few times as you like. You do have to go in once, and of course you do also need to bring a carbon once. But according to Shitas Rav Yochanan, but for Re'iya's panim ba'azara, there's no shear. Precisely, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Kama pam shu chafetz ba umar atzma ba'azara ve'in tzarich lavi karban b'chol ha-ri'iyah ve'iri'iyah." And as Rashi understands Rav Yochanan over here in version number one, so you obviously have to bring a karban one time. That's a requirement. After that, you can go into the azara empty-handed, and a third time, and a fourth time, and every time you go into the azara, you could be empty-handed. And Reish Lakish amar yes panim b'karban, and Reish Lakish says no. Reish Lakish says that every time you go into the Azara, meaning you already went in one time, you already brought in your carbon. That's the Ikar Mitzvah. Good. Check. Now, you want to go into the Azara again on Yantiv? You may do so, but according to Reish Lakish, it's going to cost you. You're going to have to bring a carbon every single time you go in, Every subsequent time you go in, you must bring a karban together with being seen in the Azara. Okay. So now the Gemara, just one second, let's first cover a little bit more. The Gemara is going to clarify. So, So the Gemara says, as far as the Iker Regal is concerned, Iker Regal here means the first day of Yontiv. So then there's no discussion, there's no debate. The Gemara is clarifying just simply that, look, there is a mitzvah of Re'iyah, which, as we already discussed, in day one of our Masechta, is a compound mitzvah of both being seen in the Azara and having a carbon in tow. So on the Iker mitzvah on day number one, so there's nothing to discuss. There's Re'iyah's Panim, big carbon. Ki Pligi, the only debate over here is Bishar Yemos HaRegel, every other day of Yontif. When you're going into the Azara in any other day, so does that have to be with or without a carbon? So according to Rav Yochanan, it could be without a carbon. According to Reish Lakish, it must be with a carbon. So the Gemara further clarifies that every time that he comes in and he brings a carbon, so we're ready to accept it from him. So ki pligi da'asav alo aisi. What the only discussion is that he comes in empty-handed. Now that statement of the Gemara is interesting, and just to use the Tosfos over here, which is really commenting on the next version of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Why would I have thought that if I come in with a carbon? I'm sorry, if I come in subsequently with a carbon, why would I even have a problem with that? One could have entertained the idea that if you already brought your carbon on day one, you were seen and brought your carbon on day one, so any subsequent time that you do that may be a violation of Baal Tosif. So what our Gemara is telling us is that no, that if you're coming in on a subsequent day and you bring a carbon, and this for you would represent an additional carbon, that'd be fine. The only discussion now between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is if you decide to come in on a subsequent day empty-handed. Is that okay? Is that not okay? And now the shittas would be that according to Rav Yochanan, that would be acceptable. And according to Reish Lakish, that is simply unacceptable. The Gemara spells this out. Rav Yochanan saw Re'iyas Panim Bazar Dechalei Mastasi Lo Tzarech La'asuye. Meaning, according to Rav Yochanan, Re'iyas Panim Be'azara just simply means you can come in anytime you want. Again, Be'ikar Yontav, on the first day of Yontav, you have to come in with a carbon. But any other time, you can just simply go into the Azara. And Reish Lakish Amar, Re'iyas Panim Be'karban, Dechalei Mastasi Tzarech La'asuye. And according to Reish Lakish, Re'iyas Panim, so that's Be'karban. You must come in with a carbon. Meaning, according to Reish Lakish, part and parcel of the mitzvah is to not only go into the Azara, but to go into the Azara with a carbon. The two go hand in hand. They are tied together. And if you want to do extra mitzvah of Re'iyah, so that means, by definition, that not only does it have to be Re'iyas Panim, it also has to be Re'iyas carbon as well.
Any carbon?
No. The Ola's Re'iyah.
Has to be a Re'iyah all the time.
It has to be an Ola. And specifically for the purpose of Re'iyah. Yeah. So. No. Right. Okay, good. So it's a good clarification point. No. According to Rav Yochanan, the Rav Yochanan's understanding is that you will get a check. In other words, you will... Right, exactly. Even when you come in empty-handed, but if you're coming in a second or third time, so you're going to get a check for the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Rav Yochanan sees the mitzvah of Re'iyah that can be accomplished to a degree, even without a carbon. And according to Reish Lakish, there's no such animal. Pun intended. Okay? You must come into the base of Mikdash with a carbon. And if you don't do so you haven't done the mitzvah bichlal. Eisve Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. Yes.
And what about the Mishnah itself?
No, in other words, that was a rejection. So Mitch, that was a rejection of a first pshat. The first pshat of the Gemara is that it has to do with spending. The Gemara says that has nothing to do with spending because as far as spending is concerned, the Torah never addressed that.
So how could they argue with the Rebbe? They're Amoraim.
They're not arguing. In other words, they're saying that the Dion of the Mishnah Peah has nothing to do with spending and has everything to do with what is the nature of the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Meaning when the Mishnah says that by Re'iyah there's no Shear, so that means that according to Rav Yochanan, you can go back in anytime you want. And every time you go back in, subsequently, you're going to get a mitzvah. And according to Reish Lakish, he too agrees you can go back anytime you want, but you also have to have a carbon in tow. Okay. Eitzvei Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. So Reish Lakish says the following to Rav Yochanan. So a number of challenges to Rav Yochanan. Number one, the a pasuk. Okay, so you can't come in empty-handed. Okay, sounds pretty straightforward. Meaning, every time you come in, you have to present with a carbon. So Amalei Baker Arego. But the answer is really simple. Yeah, the pasuk's describing the first day. Next question. So here we have a brisa. The question and answer is basically going to be the same, but it just happens to be that we have a brisa that elaborates a little bit more. So the pasuk says you can't go in empty-handed. Bizvachim. Meaning, what does that mean? You can't go empty-handed. What's the cost? The cost is going to be a carbon. Now, okay, fine. Carbon over here, by the way, zevach means an animal, as opposed to a bird, and certainly as opposed to a mincha. The brisa, at least for a moment, entertains. I don't know. Maybe an oaf, maybe a mincha, maybe that would be acceptable. Vidinu nemra chagiga lehejuv nemra reila gavoa. Ma chagiga amura lehejuv zvachim afaria amura legavoa zvachim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's untenable. Because we also know that there's also Shamech Chagiga. Shamech Chagiga is by definition going to be an animal. It's not going to be an oaf. It's not going to be a mincha. Here too, by the Re'iya, the cost of Re'iya is going to be an animal. Not a bird, not a mincha. Umahin Zvachin Olos. Okay, now, fine. So the cost is going to be a carbon. It's going to be an animal. Now, next. V'lo Yerupanai Rekam. It's got to be a carbon Ola. Ato Omer Olos Oenu Alo Shlamim. Once again, the Brisa says, I don't know. Maybe it could be a shlamim. Shlamim comes from animals. So vidinu nemra chagiga lehejov nemra reiya legavo ma chagiga amur lehejov bereayilo av reiya amur legavo bereayilo. So the Gemara says no, it's got to be appropriate. Just like the shamech chagiga has to be appropriate for the person who brings it, i.e., he can eat it. So too the reiya, which is for Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so it's got to be appropriate for Hakadosh Baruch Hu, something that he can eat. It goes without saying, right? I'm a broken record on this, and Akash Baruch is not eating. It just simply means that it's going to be totally consumed on the Mizbeach. V'chein b'din shalo yeshulchan chamalei v'shulchan rabcha reikam. And also, just consider, your table shouldn't be complete, meaning you shouldn't be eating, and pasnish that your Rebbe should have nothing. So in other words, it's got to be a balance. So the chagiga is going to be shlamim, the ria by definition has to be an ola. So, once again, what comes out over here in this brisa, the brisa says, to put it all in one sentence, when you come into the base of Mikdash, you can't come in empty-handed, you have to have a carbon. Okay, that was two sentences. Get the point. So, Amalei Be'ikar Regel. So again, the answer is going to be really simple. That's talking about day one. On day one, you're right, you can't come in empty-handed. But once you accomplish the mitzvah on day one, so from that point going forward, it's okay. You can go in empty-handed. Eitzvei Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. I'm sorry, Eitzvei. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shal Shregalim B'Shan and Tzav Yisrael Lalos B'Regel B'Chagamatos U'V'Chagas Shavuos V'Chagas Sukkos V'Ein Nirin Chatzayin Mishum Shenemar Kol Zechorcha. Now the Brice over here makes a comment that you can't go in halfsies because it says Kol Zechorcha. Stay tuned as we're going to explain or try to explain what that means. But anyway, V'Ein Nirin Rekanim Mishum Shenemar V'Lo Yeru Panai Rekam. And you can't go in empty-handed because the pasuk says V'Lo Yeru Panai Rekam. I know it sounds redundant because this is now the third time that we're basically asking from the pasuk and Amarle Beikar Aregel, and the Gemara's answer is going to be the same. And yeah, you're right. You can't go in empty-handed. That's talking about day one. After day one, you're allowed to go in empty-handed. Next, Eitzvei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So now we're turning the table. Okay, so up until now it's been jab jab jab, but from Reish Lakish to Rav Yochanan successfully defended himself all three times. Now we're going to go in the other direction. Rav Yochanan now is going to attack Reish Lakish, and over here it's going to be a one punch knockout. So Yira Emani Bechinam Afata Bechinam. So the Brisa says, and we've seen this idea already numerous times, that we are going into the Azara to see and be seen, and Ma Ani Bechinam Afata Bechinam, and just like I do so. Bechinam, so afata bechinam, same thing with you, is also bechinam. Now, ma'ani bechinam definitely requires a pshat. I'm not sure if I have a wonderful one, but certainly the idea of the brisa is that you don't have to come in. It's not going to cost you to come in. You can go in for free. In other words, you can come in without a carbon. Ella kolhecha da'asavalo icy to kol amalo plegi dial umischaze v'nafak. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. Okay, so basically, with this brisa that Rav Yochanan just cited, Reish Lakish is not going to have a response, and so therefore there's going to have to be concession. That after you did the ikar mitzvah on day number one, where you brought a carbon, where you were seen and you brought a carbon, so from that point forward, you want to go into the Azara and you want to go in empty-handed, you may do so. Ma'ani b'chinam afatem b'chinam, Okay, there's really nothing more to discuss. So what we're going to have to do now is that we're going to have to reset. So we just spent a good part of the Amud Aleph of today attempting to say a pshat in the Machlokes Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says we're going to reset it, and here's how we're going to start off. According to everyone, the Ilam is Chazev and Afik, that you can go in, you can be seen, and you can leave. Meaning, subsequent to day number one, you want to go in empty-handed, you may do so. So, ki pligi dasav aisi, here's the debate. The debate goes like this. Now, took me a while to wrap my head around this. Tosfos was more than helpful. Tosfos says pshat, and everything I'm saying is coming from Tosfos right now, and it's like this. On day one, when you go in, you have to come in with a karban. That's the Ikar Mitzvah. Done. Check. Now, you want to go in and any subsequent day, day two and onward. You already did your mitzvah. So, to go in now and to come out of the Azara, you're also going to get a check for Re'iyah. That's fine. And you don't have to bring a carbon. In fact, Ma'ani Bechinam Afatem Bechinam. Right? There's no obligation to do so. What if on the subsequent days you go into the Azara, you're seen, and you bring a carbon? Is that acceptable? Is that okay? That's the machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. Ki pligi, where the second wide line. Ki pligi dasava aisi. You came in and you brought a carbon. And again, this is after day number one where you did your Ikar Mitzvah. Rav Yochanan da Maria's panim ba'azara, Ria's panim hudein lashir, hala carbon, yesh lashir. So what Rav Yochanan will tell you is that, look, the Mishnah in Peah says that Rei Ayon does not require a shir. Rav Yochanan says that's true. You go in on day one, you bring your carbon, you get a check. For the rest of Yontif, there's no requirement for you to go back to the Azara. You're good. You want to go back in again? Wonderful. You may do so. In fact, not only that, you're going to get a check for going back in a subsequent time. That's going to be fine. So in that regard, the Mishnah Peah is correct, meaning that's the pshat in the Mishnah Peah. But if you decide to go back in again, you have to bring a carbon. Meaning that and by the way, this second version is really flipped of the first version. In terms of where the Amoraim are standing. Okay. And that is a major shift. But this is now, the pshat that I'm offering is the way Tosfos is setting it up. And that is that according to Rav Yochanan, if you elect to go back in again, so now the karban has a shear. But what that means simply is that if you decide to go in again, you must bring a karban. The decision to go back in again, that's elective. That you don't have to do. But once you do, now you have to bring a carbon. That's Shitas Rav Yochanan. And Reish Lakish Amar, Ria's Panim Bekarbon, Dafila Bekarbon, Nami Ein Lashir. And Reish Lakish will tell you no, that Ria's Panim Bekarbon. And the carbon doesn't have a shear. Meaning to say that according to Reish Lakish, so you can go in after day number one. And you can go into the Azara. And if you decide to go into Azara a second time, a third time, so then you don't have to bring a carbon. You can go in without having to bring a carbon, because the Ein Lo Shir is going on both. It's going on the Rias Panim, and it's also going on the Rias Carbon as well. It would be a violation, according to Rav Yochanan. I don't know if I'd go that far.
Because it's you're not supposed to bring the carbon.
So according to Rav Yochanan, no. It's in the second version, according to Rav Yochanan, you are required to bring a carbon.
Saying the first day, but after this you don't have
to. No, according to Rav Yochanan, no. The Pshan Rav Yochanan is that, and again, I'm now going on the second version. According to Rav Yochanan, you don't have to go back into the Azara, but if you do, you have to bring a carbon. And according to Reish Lakish, so you don't have to go back into the Azara, but if you do, you don't have to bring a carbon. Okay. All right, Eisvei. And by the way, because now it flips, so now it becomes challenging, meaning, so which position do we take? Well, I did a little investigation, did a little bit of research. The Rambam writes that you can go back into the Azara on subsequent days and you don't have to bring a carbon. That's what the Rambam writes. But it's only now fair to ask, is he paskin like Reish Lakish of the second version or is he paskin like Rav Yochanan of the first version? Okay, anyway. Eisvei. Okay. Hukar raglecha mi beis reecha. Pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says, hukar raglecha. Hukar raglecha, the word hukar, yakar, it means precious. It means that it should be like a real commodity. And that is hukar reglecha mi beis reecha. Like, don't go in so frequently into the Azara. All right? That, it's a loose translation, but it is the one that is relevant to our discussion. You should go into the Beis HaMikdash infrequently, is the basic gist of the Pasuk in Mishlei. So now, we are saying, what are you talking about? More is better. Just keep going back in. So the Gemara says, Hasan b'chatas v'ashamos. So the Gemara says, no, that pasuk in Mishlei is talking about bringing a carbon chatzos and bringing a carbon ashem. Yeah, for that, don't be a regular in the base of Mikdash, right? Because obviously, if you're bringing a chatzos and ashem, it's because you did an avera, and now you need a kapara. So under certain circumstances, a kapara could be achieved through a carbon chatzos or a carbon ashem. In that regard, just be more careful. And that way, you won't have to show up with a chatzos and ashem that frequently. That's a simple pshat in the pasuk of Mishlei. And kid the Rebbe Levi, Rami Ksiv, Huka Reglecha, Mei Beis Recha. And the Gemara notes that Rebbe Levi already made this point, because look, we have a pasuk in Mishlei. Huka Reglecha, Mei Beis Recha. Uksiv, Avo Beis Recha, Ba'olos. And meanwhile, the pasuk in Tehillim says, you know what, I'm going to be there all the time, and I'm going to be there with Olos. So which one is it? So, Lokash, Kam Bechatos V'Shamos, Kam Ba'olos V'Shlamim. So the yish of Hadvarim is really simple. And that is, Chatos and Hashem, hey, try not to be there all the time, right? Try not to be in a position where you need to bring it. And then, but when it comes to Olos and Shlamim, try to be there. In other words, as much Olos and Shlamim as you can afford. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Gemara has the braces supporting this as well. Huker Reglecha may base Recha bechatos v'shamos akasam adaber. So ata Omer bechatos v'shamos oeno ela bolos v'shlamim kishu Omer avo besecha bolos v'shalim lecha nidarai hare olos v'shlamim amor. Hamin mekayim huker Reglecha may base Recha bechatos v'shamos akasam adaber. I read that braces really quickly. The braces says exactly what we just said. Chatos v'shamos infrequently. Olos v'shlamim frequently. Good. Okay. So, Adkan, so our first question for today, that's the first half of today's daf, and it really, just in summary, it's really simple. The Mishnah in Peah says that Reayon does not have a shear. That's the easy part. Now, the tricky part is, oh, good, now tell me a pshat in the Mishnah in Peah. So it's funny, we know this Mishnah because we say it every morning after Brichas HaTorah. Right after Brichas HaTorah, so what do? We say a Mishnah, first Mishnah in Peah. And by the way, why this Mishnah in Peah is obvious. Because of the five things that don't have a shear, one of them is Talmud Torah. Okay, good. So that's why we say the Mishnah. After we say the Mishnah, so then first we say a Pasuk, then we say a Mishnah and Peah, and then we say a Braisa. Okay. I don't have a source, but I know it's sourced. I heard that after Brichas HaTorah, you want to say Torah Shebichsav, then you want to say Mishnayos, then you want to say Braisas as well. Okay, anyway. But the Mishnah in Peah says that one of the things that one of the five things that do not have a shear is Reayon, and now it's just a simple question of what does that mean? And for one Amud of Gemara, struggled to say a pshat. Struggled, but eventually we did. Reayon is not talking about spending, because as far as spending is concerned, in the Torah, there's no shear, not Lamala, not Lamata. And then as far as the pshat in the Mishnah is concerned, it means going back to the Azara. Meaning you already went into the Azara on the first day of Yontif, you brought your carbon, you already did the mitzvah, now are you in fact allowed to go back into the Azara? And if you do decide to go back into the Azara, can you go in without a carbon, or must you bring a carbon? And what do we have over here? Machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish on this very point, but to make things a little bit more complicated, we have two versions of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, version 1 and version 2. Okay, that is the first half of today's daf. In the Braisa that we quoted towards the bottom of the Amud, so the Braisa made a comment and the Gemara said, now I'd like to go back and I'd like to understand the comment of the Braisa. The Braisa, you'll see the Braisa towards the bottom of the Amud. The Braisa says that Ein Nirin Chatzayin. It's about two-thirds of the way down. We saw it already. And the Gemara just simply wants to know, what does that mean? Ein Nirin B'Chatzayin. Ein Nirin Chatzayin. No prefix. Sever of Yosef Lameimar Mandis Le Asar Banim Lo Lesko Aidna Chamisha Ulamacher Chamisha. So Rav Yosef says, okay, I'm going to say a pshat. The pshat I'm going to say is that let's say you have 10 sons. So what you should not do is you shouldn't divide the family in half. Five of you will come with me today. Five of you will come with me tomorrow. I can't handle all 10 of you. Sorry, that's me talking. So I can't handle all 10 of you. So five of you come with me today and five of you come with me tomorrow. Okay, that's a pshat. And what the Bryce is telling us is don't do that. Because the pasuk says called Zechorcha. So Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye says we're on the top of the Amud Beis. Pshita. Hai minayu mashlusu poshim v'hai minayu mashlusu zrizim. So Abaye says, I don't need a pasuk to teach me that. In other words, just from a standard Midos perspective. And I say Midos, I really mean like a hashkafa towards the Torah. Meaning what? You're telling five people, you know what, be on time. I'm telling five of my sons, I'd like you to be punctual, I'd like you to be zrizim. And now I'm going to teach five of my other sons, I need you to be. Now, the Gemara's language is really strong. The Gemara calls him a poshea, right? Rashi describes over here atzlanim. Anyway, but the point is that that's bad chinuch on my part. If I'm telling five of my sons, you don't have to come on day number one, come on day number two. Before the Torah has a drasha, I already know that that's bad chinuch. So the Ella krala my asa lechida acherim. So as far as the pasuk is concerned, so the pasuk is coming to teach us a different point, and that is the following: the Tanya will enter a brisa acherim omrim amekamitz v'amitzarif nechoshes v'aborzi peturim min ariyah shenemar kozachorcha mishiach alachos laalos im kozachorcha yatzur eli she'en yichom laalos im kozachorcha. So I know it's going to sound familiar because we did this gemara over here, but now we're saying this as pshat in the brisa. When the Braisa says a near and chatzayin, the Braisa is referring to a group of people that are involved in a kind of work that they smell bad. These people just simply smell bad. They're working with excrement, right? We already described them earlier in terms of what their jobs are and why they smell bad. Anyway, they have smelly jobs, and if you put them in a crowded room, so it's going to be really offensive to other people. So therefore, they're going to be putter. Now, when the Gemara says they're going to be putter, so that's the pshat in the Braisa, when the Braisa says, a nirin chatzayin. Now, what exactly does that mean? Look at Rashi over here, Rashi. Second Rashi on the Amud. V'hainu nami a nirin lechatzayin. D'mishen aray la'alos ela b'chabura mu'etes. Kagon elu shiyasu chabura la'atzman. Kach nira be'enayim. So the way Rashi understands it is that to put them with the rest of the population, so that's going to be difficult/impossible. Because then what's going to happen is that there's by definition going to be a division, meaning they're going to by definition split the group. But Rashi says, but what they should do is that they should go by themselves and as their own individual group in terms of Aliyah L'Regel. Okay, it's an interesting Rashi. Rashi recognizes that he's saying a chiddush. You can see the remainder of Rashi where Rashi notes that others push back on this pshat, but Rashi insists that that's the correct pshat. That despite the fact that the simple reading of the Braisa of Achirim is that they're Pata Lagamre, no, it doesn't mean they're Pata Lagamre, it just simply means that they do not come with the rest of the population, they go on their own. I'm not sure exactly what that means. They have their own times in which they come in. I'm not totally sure. But anyway, that's the pshat that Rashi thinks is correct. Okay. We are now up to our next Mishnah. Okay, so it's been a week, but we so far in our Masechta tackled one Mishnah. And again, in the beginning of Masechta, that's usually how it goes. The discussion of the first Mishnah usually runs long because there's a lot to unpackage in terms of the beginning of a Masechta, just a lot of basic information that needs to be put out there. Okay, so that's what we did in the last week. And now, on Zayin Amud Beis, we're starting our next Mishnah. Olos. So as far as the Olos are concerned, remember there are three Karbanos that are brought every Yontif. The Olos Riyah, Shami Chagiga, Shami Simcha. So now the Mishnah is describing the Olos b'moed bos minachulin. So as far as Olos on Moed. Now Moed over here presumably means Chol HaMoed. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. Why in the world are we talking about Chol HaMoed? Like, shouldn't we be talking about Yontif? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to ask that question. So bos minachulin. Now these animals have to come from Chulin, which means to say that you can't double dip. In other words, let's say, for example, you have an animal that already you're required to bring as a carbon. Okay, you already obligate yourself to bring a carbonola. Hey, you know what? I already am on the hook for a carbonola. I already have an animal towards my neder. I'll just simply bring it to the base of Mikdash and use it as my neder, and I'll use it as my olas re'iyah. So what the Mishnah is teaching us is that no can do. You cannot double dip. The animal that you're using for your olas re'iyah must have been a chulin animal of yours. V'ashlamim and a meiser, contrast that with the carbon shlamim. Shlamim can come from meiser, meaning that let's say, for example, you have Meiser Behema, or let's say, for example, you have Meiser Sheni money. So what you could do with that Meiser Sheni money is that you can purchase an animal with that money and use it as your Shlamim on Yontif.
Is it matter if it's supposed to be used for food, and this is really not food?
Well, it really is food. In other words, some of it's going to go onto the Mizbeach, right? That's your point?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But the vast majority of it is going to be eaten and consumed. So, but it's I still hear your point, but the vast majority of it is going to be consumed.
That's the Shami Simcha.
Okay, so and now the Gemara later on is going to clarify that that's not talking about the Chagig; it's talking about the Simcha. Right. That will be a clarification that's going to come to us through the Gemara in just a moment. V'ashlamim and a meiser yom tov rishon shel Pesach. Now, on the first day of Pesach, Now it's interesting, and the Gemara is going to point this out. Why would the Mishnah mention Pesach? Because the truth of the matter is, we're talking globally every Yontif. So why Mishnah mention Pesach? Stay tuned. We're going to answer that question at the end of today's daf. Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach Beit Shammai Omrim Min Achulin Ubeis Hillel Omrim Min Amaiser. So Beit Shammai says that it has to come from Chulin. Beis Hillel says it can come from Maiser. Okay, we will explore and explain what that means in just a moment. Yisrael Yotzni Dei Chavasa Ben Nedar V'Davas V'Maiser Beheima V'Akohanim V'Chatos V'Hashamos V'Bechor V'Chaz V'Shok. As far as which animals you could use for your shlamim. And again, as will be clarified in the Gemara, we're talking about Shammai Simcha. So a Yisrael could use a neder, nedava. So that means that he already made a pledge. He already made a neder that he was going to bring a karban. And so he has to bring it anyway. But even though he has to bring it anyway, he could use it towards the Shammai Simcha. Meaning he could be mekayim the mitzvah of Shammai Simcha with that neder or nedava or meister behema. Va'kohanim, and as far as the Kohen is concerned, chatos or shamos bechor v'chaz v'shok. So the list of karbanos over here are specific to Kohanim, right? Karban chatos and nashim are exclusively eaten by Kohanim. But the point is that if a chatos and nashim are brought on Yantiv and they're eating it on Yantiv, so they'll get a check for eating chatos, which is a mitzvah, and they're also going to get a check for shami simcha as well. Similarly, a bechor, which is given over to the Kohen, so he could bring it on Yantiv in order to fulfill the mitzvah of shami simcha. Chaz of a shok, that the parts of a shlamim that are given over to the Kohanim, they eat that on Yantiv or on Chol HaMoed, so they're going to be they're going to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha. Avaloba ofas veloba menachos, but not with ofen, not with mincha. Ofen mincha cannot be used towards Shami Simcha. Really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi writes, last Rashi in the Mishnah, why can't I fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha with of? Rashi writes, bechataos of she'ain sova ela bebasar behema. Because as far as what's going to really satiate you, the only thing that's going to satiate you is red meat, but not chicken. Now, I say chicken, by the way. I don't really mean chicken, because we're talking about carbonus over here. As far as birds that are brought as a carbon, it's only torvigozel. But the point is that they're not going to be sovea. Simcha, the requirement of simcha means that it has to really fill you up and you have to be satiated. Okay, so that's why a carbon oaf, meaning a chatas oaf, will not do the trick. Parenthetically, by the way, the only bird that's consumable, birds can only come as one of two carbonos. It can only be coming as an ola or as a chatas. And so obviously an ola is not going to be eaten. Ola is totally burnt to the mizbech. So therefore the only thing left is a chatas. Chatas can only be eaten by the kohanim. So the only thing really to speak about when it comes to birds and to fulfill your mitzvah, shami simcha, is only a chatas bird that can be eaten by a kohen. But and still the point is, it's going to be still the same point, is that the Kohen will not be mekayim the mitzvah of Simcha, and the way Rashi says it, it's because it doesn't satiate. We're going to finish up today's daf. Ela olos b'moed hu debaos min achulin habi yomtov min amaiser. So the Mishnah is really misleading. It steers us a little bit off track, because if I'm reading the Mishnah carefully, which is how we're supposed to read the Mishnayos, so the Mishnah makes it sound like, hey, if you bring your ola on Chol HaMoed, so then it can come from Chulin. And if I'm going to deduce, well, if I bring it on Yontif, so then I can bring it from already Neder Nedavos. Really? That's right? The Gemara says it's not right. So, Habi Yomtov min Amaiser? So, Amai, Davish HaBechovah, V'chol Davish HaBechovah, in a Ba'alam and a Chulin. I'm obligated to do the Olas Re'ia. Once I have an obligation to do so, I'm not allowed to double dip. I can't take an animal that I'm already committed to bringing and then double dip and use it also as my olas riyah. It has to come from chulin. And it's not going to make a difference whether we're talking about Chol HaMoed or we're talking about the first day of Yontif. So why would the Mishnah use the words Chol HaMoed? The Mishnah says olos bimoed when quite frankly it's misleading and it's simply not correct. If I bring my ola on the first day of Yontif, of course it has to come from chulin. And okay, so how about this as a diuk? Maybe what the Mishnah is trying to teach me is that I'll bring my Olas Riyah, but only on the first day of Chol HaMoed. I can't bring it on Yontif. Now, there is an argument to be made why you can't bring it on Yontif. On Yontif, so what heterim do we have? We have a heter of what's called Ochel Nefesh. So I can only do malachas on Yontif, but only if it results in eating. By the Ola, of course, it doesn't result in eating. It goes on to the Mizbeach. So there is an argument to be made, but you know who makes that argument? Sure. Beit Shammai. So now what you want to tell me is that our Mishnah is only going like the Shita Beit Shammai? That's difficult. So come on, Kebet Shammai Dinan, and hear the Mishnah Beitza. Beit Shammai Amrim Mevin Shlamim Vein Samchan Alein, Aval Lo Olos. So Beit Shammai says that you can bring Shlamim, but you can't do Smicha. And you cannot bring Olos. That is Shitas Beit Shammai. So the Beit Shammai says, Beit Shammai Darshans, Rashi over here cites the Gemara in Beitza. Lachem Velo La Gavoa. Chutz Mitzminim Musaf and Shazman Kavu V'chozman Shekavu K'siv Behu B'moado. So if we're talking about the karbanos are kavu asman, so that you're allowed to, not allowed to, you're required to bring him on yantav. But over here, when it comes to the olas ri'iya, it's not kavu asman. I know that's a little bit tricky when it's not kavu asman. Of course it's kavu asman. You have to bring it on yantav. But what Rashi means and what the Gemara in Beitza means is that you can, since you can bring it the next day, so it is not an absolute requirement to bring it on the 15th of or whichever Yantav we're on, Nisan, Tishrei, or Shavuos for that matter. So, and even Shavuos, you can bring it the next day. So, Beit Shammai is of the position that the only karbanos that you can bring are only those that are kavuas man. The Olas Riyah is not kavuas man. And on top of that, the only heter of Malacha is only Lachem, Velo Legavoa. And so therefore, you can't bring it on Yantav. It is odd, and we pointed this out before, that there is a mitzvah in the Torah to bring the Olas Riyah on Yantav. And according to Beit Shammai, yes, that's true, but not on Yantav. Okay, fine. In other words, that's just simply the conclusion. It's just a little bit odd.
Can't go up the first day in the Beis Hamikdash.
Yeah, so how's that working according to Beit Shammai? That's an excellent question. I don't have an answer. Just to repeat the question. So according to Beit Shammai, so can you go into the Azar on the first day of Yantav? Presumably the answer is no.
No, because it's like
okay. I'll think more about it, but I think you're right. So, Ubeisila Omrim Mevin Shlamim Valos of Somchim Aleim. And Beisila says no, that you'll bring Shlamim, you'll bring Olos, and you'll do Smicha on them. Okay, and the Smicha issue is an issue actually we're going to be discussing later in our Masechta. Okay, anyway. But what comes out now, so you want to tell me that the Pshat in our Mishnah is talking about bringing the Olos Riyah on Moed, meaning to the exclusion of the first day of Yantav, because our Mishnah is going like Beit Shammai. That's not right. A Stam Mishnah is going to be going like Beit Shammai. So the Gemara says, okay, so now what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to say a Pshat in our Mishnah, and so let's do so. Chesur Mechzor V'Hachi Ketani. So there's a missing portion of our Mishnah, and this is now Pshat in the Mishnah. Olos Nedarim Nedavos B'moed Ba'os B'yam Tavein Ba'os. So when it comes to Neder Nedava, meaning yes, an Ola, but an Ola of Neder Nedava, having nothing to do with Yantav, having to do with your own personal pledges and obligations that you yourself made. So yes, you can bring them with you as you do the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, but no, you can't bring them on the first day of Yantav. Because Neder and Nedava are not brought on Yantav, period. Oh, so fine. So when you bring them in tow, so when can you bring them? Chol HaMoed. That's Pshat in the Mishnah. Now, to that, we're going to contrast Olas Riyah, Ba'afilu B'Yantav. So the Olas Riyah can, and we can even add, should be added, it should be brought on the first day of Yantav. And again, because it's an obligation, so you can't use an animal that you already assigned as a karban. It must be a chulin animal that you are now assigning for the first time as your olas riyah. And then shami simcha, and now this is still the chesur mechzra. We're filling in the rest of the Mishnah as far as the shami simcha is concerned, so that you could use anything. Ba'in min, af min ha-maiser. So that can even come from maiser, meaning even maiser sheni money, which you already have assigned with kedusha. But still, for this, you can double dip for the Shami Simcha. V'chagigas Yantav Rishon Shal Pesach. Now, as far as the Chagigah is concerned, and again, even in our clarification of the Mishnah, it's still a little bit strange that we're mentioning Pesach as opposed to the other Yamim Tovim. Stay tuned. We are going to say a pshat in that in just a moment. So, Beit Shammai Omrim and a Chulin, Beit Shammai Omrim and a Meiser. So here we have a Machlokas Tanayim, whether it can come from Chulin or Meiser. Beit Shammai says that it must come from Chulin, and Beit Shammai says it can come even min ha Meiser. Tanya Namihachi. This insertion that we just made into our Mishnah, it's going to be supported by a Braisa. The Braisa over here is going to repeat everything we just said. Why repeat? Because it validates the pshat that we just said in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah didn't say all this clearly. The Gemara gave the clarification. Now the Braisa is going to validate that clarification. Olos Nadarm Nadavas Bemoid Baos Beyam Tavena Baos, Volos Riaba Afil Beyam Tavishi Baina Baila Menachulan, Isham Simcha Baim Afmina Maisa Vichagigas Yam Tavishan Shapesach, Bisham Ormin Menachulan, Basil Ormin Mena Maisa. I'm not going to explain the Braisa because just see above, meaning what the Braisa just taught us is exactly the clarification that we just gave in the Mishnah. Okay, so where do we stand right now? Three Karbanos on Yantiv, so Olas Riyah has to come from Chulin. Shami Simcha can come Afilim and Amaiser. The Chagiga, Machlokus between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Whether it can come from Chulin or it must come from Maiser. Maishna Chagigas Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach. Now, why does it say Chagigas Yom Tov Shal Pesach? Meaning it would be the Chagigas Yom Tov of Sukkos. It would be the Chagigas Yom Tov of Shavuos. So why does the Mishnah and the Braisa mention Pesach? Am Rav Ashi, Kamashmulan, Chagigas Chamisha Asar in, Chagigas Arba Asar Lo. So, when we say Chagigas on Pesach, it can be confusing. Because how many Chagigas are there on Pesach? Now the answer really is one. Meaning the standard Chagiga for Efer Yantav. But on Pesach, there's also called Chagigas Yudalit. Chagigas Yudalit we discussed back in Pesachim numerous times, and that is the following. On the 14th day of Nisan, which is not Yantav, although it is the day that you bring the Karm Pesach, so it has like a quasi-Yantav status to it. But on the 14th day of Nisan, so in addition to bringing the Karm Pesach, so what you can opt in and do is bring another Karm Shlamim. Now, for whatever reason, it's called the Chagiga. And it's a misnomer, because it's not a Chagiga. It's not a Chagiga in the standard sense. It is just simply a supplemental carbon that comes with the Carbon Pesach. Why bring a supplemental? Because the Carbon Pesach is going to be distributed amongst the whole family. There may not be enough for everybody to eat. Carbon Pesach has to be eaten a la sova. So what you'll do is you'll bring additional carbonos. In order to try to be clear and differentiate, so this Chagiga that's brought on the 14th is called Chagigas Yudalit. Okay. But, and I know it's confusing, and I'm sure it took me a while to wrap my head around it. The Chagigas Yudalit is not a Chagiga. Okay. It's a funny sentence, but it's correct. So what the Mishnah wants to be clear about is that the Chagiga on Pesach is specifically Chagigas Tesvav, meaning the Chagiga, as opposed to Chagigas Yudalit, which in name is called the Chagiga, but in terms of its status, it's not a Chagiga. So Chagigas Chamisha Asar in, Chagigas Arba Asar lo. Alma, Kasava Chagigas Arba Asar lo Daraisa. And because the Chagigas Yadal is not Idin Daraisa, as I just got done explaining. Okay. Adkan. I'll stop over here. Just a quick recap. We started today with the Mishnah and Peah. The Mishnah and Peah notes five things that have no shear. Of those five things, one of them is Re'ayon, which is clearly the Re'iyah. What does it mean it has no shear? The Gemara spent the entirety of today's Amud Aleph going over a pshat in the Mishnah. The pshat that is rejected is that it's talking about spending, ceilings, floors. That's Minat Torah. There are no spending ceilings or floors. Rather, what? So I'm gonna simply present right now in summary the second version of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. The Gemara doesn't really tell us which version it prefers, but I'll just simply say over the second version. In the second version, you go in on the first day on Yantav and you are Re'ias Panim, you appear in the Azara and you must bring a carbon. And there's nothing to talk about, that's the mitzvah. Good. Now, you want to come in on a subsequent day, so you may do so. But if you come in on a subsequent day and you leave, that's perfectly fine. Again, this is the second version. That's perfectly fine. Ma'ani b'chinam afatem b'chinam. Okay. However, if you come in on a subsequent day after having already fulfilled the Iker mitzvah on Yantav Rishon, and you want to bring an additional karban, so may you do so. That's the machlokus between Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, where according to Rav Yochanan, so the Re'ias Panim that has no shear, but karban has a shear, which means to say that if you're going to go in on a subsequent day, so you are not allowed to bring an additional karban. And Tosos points out over here, and by the way, if you want to see the Tosos, it's a long Tosos, but if you want to see the Kilan and Tosos, so the Asav Aisi Boba Yom Kamar Delo Mekablinan, right, and you have to read it with the Bach. But anyway, Mishum Bal Tosif Kevin Dekvar Nafik Avalamacha Li Yomarcha Matzi Lahavi Im Yirtzeh. So what you can do is that you can bring on a subsequent day but you do not have to. Mashenken, according to Reish Lakish, according to Rav Yochanan, if you come in on a subsequent day, so you must bring a carbon in tow. And according to Reish Lakish, no.
Rav Yochanan says you don't have to, you can't.
In version number two?
It's not a requirement, but you have the option to bring it
in. You have the option to come back in again.
Right.
But if you come back in again, so then the carbon has to come in. And according to Reish Lakish, Riyas Panim Bekarban, Dafil Karbanami Ein Lashir. And according to Reish Lakish, no. The Ein Lashir is going both on Riyas Panim and on Riyas Karban, which means to say that you once you fulfill the Ikar Mitzvah on day one, so then after that point in time, everything at that point in time becomes optional. Meaning going back into the Azara becomes optional, and even the Karban after that becomes optional as well, meaning you do not need to bring another Karban when you go back in. I know, it gets a little bit confusing, but that is the second version of the Machlokas as understood by Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Fine. On the Amud Beis of today, we just simply, the first thing we did before we got to the new Mishnah is we gave Taich in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Einir and Chatzayin. You don't come in halfsies. What does that mean? Rav Yosef thought he had a pshat. The Gemara ended up rejecting his pshat. Abai says a pshat. It's talking about people who smell, who cannot integrate with the rest of them, so they do not go in with Klal Yisrael. Okay, Rashi then makes the argument that they still have to go in themselves. Okay. And then we started today on the Amud Beis with the second Mishnah of the Masechta, in which we learned what kind of animals do you need to bring. So for your Olas Riyah, Chulin. For your Shamis Simcha, it could be animals that are already set aside as Karbanos, but you eating them on Yontif, or I should say better, on Chol HaMoed, would be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shamis Simcha. And then finally for the Chagiga, does that have to come in from Chulin, or does that have to come in, or can it come from things which are already set aside as a Karban? Machlok is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And then finally, what the Braisa says that the Chagiga that you bring on Pesach, why Pesach? To just simply contrast that on Pesach, there's another Chagiga, but that's not a Chagiga. Meaning the Chagiga is Yedalid, but that's Lav Min HaTorah. And so just to be clear, when we say Chagiga on Pesach, in this context, we're talking about the Chagiga's Tezvav, not the Chagiga Yedalid.